If I can get the board back and we get started again. Julia, did you, I interrupted you, did you finish up?
You didn't interrupt me, I was concluded, thank you.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you got everything in. Is there any questions of the board members to the staff before I go to the cards on this item? Dr. Press?
Well, I guess it's maybe it's a question or an observation. I like the inclusion of the road program a lot. We liked it a lot when Big Creek had initially laid it out to us. I guess the question or comment is that those repairs to roads are something that we would want anyway as a matter of protecting water quality, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't want to have if a road isn't properly rocked and is bleeding sediment, regardless of whether you have a road program or not, you should be taking care of that.
Absolutely.
Of that. In my view, it's not like the road program all of a sudden creates this requirement. I think it underscores, it underlines our concern and our insistence on that. But it's front and center in the requirements anyway.
I agree wholeheartedly. And to clarify, there is, and as Kevin Collins appropriately points out in his comment letter, sure, they'll fix the short-term issues to get their permit or whatnot. But I had extensive conversations with the landowners about, okay, our permit, if you will, is a 5-year cycle. So what happens on year 6 to the next time you enter? Are you going to just let your property degrade and then we come back again and say, oh, let's fix this for the permit? And my answer to that is absolutely not. So the intention of the road program is to address that long-term period where it's unacceptable for any property owner to allow their property to degrade during that window. So anyone who wants to take a look at it, the time period is listed as until the next harvest entry or for 15 years, whichever comes sooner, because the harvest entries tend to be on a 10 to 15 year cycle. And I made it very clear to the landowner, if they wanted to receive a permit, they needed to include that type of long-term maintenance in their permit at the time. Because we didn't know at the time this would be a Tier 4, so I said I want you to voluntarily include that before I'd be willing to move it on for approval.
So, and to another related point, I guess, there's cable yarding and skid trails on this. My understanding is if that cable yarding is done properly, if you don't have the logs swinging like some pendulum and blowing everything across, it's a pretty good practice for moving logs upslope, right?
Absolutely. And your caveat of if done appropriately fits that bill perfectly.
Right. And then similarly, skid trails, you worry about skid trails if they're not properly put to bed before winter comes on, right?
Correct.
And so normally under forest practice rules, they're supposed to put down slash and basically cover those skid trails before you can get erosion.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that there's nothing unusual about those operations in this particular timber harvest plan.
Absolutely not. And it's just like as you said before, that's front and center. That's minimum expected.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
May I clarify one point?
Dr. Hunter?
On the monitoring for the road inventory program, you just said that normally reentry for harvesting occurs on a 15-year cycle.
10 to 15, depending.
10 to 15 year. And then I noticed that the monitoring will be required for a minimum of 5 years.
Correct.
Which coincides with the current permit.
Yes.
And so regardless of whether or not there's any active harvesting in there, you receive reports on a annual basis? Is that the way the monitoring program is designed?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Shellcross.
Will we be getting reports after the 5 years?
No, we would not. Unless, but the way the program is designed is for me to conduct inspections before we conclude that 5-year period or withdraw the conditional waiver. And if during staff's inspections they find that they're not being protective of water quality, we can extend that period. But after that period is closed, no, we do not receive any more annual reports until the next entry.
But we could go inspect.
Absolutely.
After the 5 years?
Yes.
Like in the 10th year or something?
Sure, if we felt the need, okay. We could.
Okay, that might be something for you to consider in this case because of the poor road. Let me ask you, on that one culvert there, was that a road that was put in for a timber harvest, or is it a regular road that they use for other purposes, or do you know?
I don't know the history of that road, but they do use it for both purposes because it is a Boy Scout camp, and they have year-round use for whoever's visiting the camp area.
Go ahead.
That's why included in the roads management program is that they're not allowed to use any of that pickup trucks or heavy equipment on the roads during saturated soil conditions, because that was related to my concern that just general use of the property could lead to a water quality impact not connected with the timber harvest plant, which again Mr. Collins correctly pointed out in his letter.
Okay. And when you were there on this inspection where you took those pictures, was that the regular timber harvest plant inspection?
Yes, it was. In fact, I didn't go into a lot of detail about that, but that first inspection was connected with a plan, their neighboring plant, the neighboring property south of that
uh-huh.
property. The neighbors wanted to be able to use that road to haul the timber out from the neighboring property so they wouldn't have to build a new road. And that's when the first time I saw those crossings in that condition. And so they upgraded those crossings related to the plan to the south, and they told me that they would be coming back with a permit of their own. So that's where we stand now.
So the road was actually upgraded because of this other timber harvest?
Because of the neighbor, yes.
Not because you asked them to do it? Or?
Because I would say it was a combination of both.
Oh, okay.
I said that if the neighbor wants to be able to conduct the harvest, these locations need to be upgraded.
I see, okay.
And
okay.
In fact, that was called the pond timber harvest plan. Mm-hmm. Included in the pond timber harvest plans were monitoring locations at these crossings.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions from the board, to the staff at this time? If not, then we'll go to the cards. Jim Hildreth, are you here? Yes. Okay.
Hello. I'm the registered professional forester to author this plan. I've been working with the Boy Scouts for 3 or 4 years now. I want to point out a couple things specific to the previous discussions. One of them had to do with the crossings themselves. Those were designed and installed with the input of an engineering geologist who's also a civil engineer. Those are designed to the standards of a 100-year flood. In the field, as far as that mitigation when it's proposed in the field on the pre-harvest inspection, then that's reviewed by the entire review team, which also includes the state of California, California Geologic Survey geologists as well. Those crossings on that road have now been in for 2 winter periods, and they're in terrific shape. Let's see. They've been reviewed now for 2 different plans, so having that second PHI gave Julia a chance also to see how things had worked over that first winter period and see if anything needed to be changed. I believe that they were generally in such good condition that there were little changes. So this plan has incorporated into it the mitigation to make sure that these crossings, when we're done, are left in the same excellent shape. You asked about cable yarding. Portions of that cable unit were tractor logged before, and so we've upgraded that to an entire cable unit. We also have no harvesting. The Boy Scouts voluntarily are going to have a no harvest area within the Class 1 Will Pets. So along Class 1 Kings Creek, there is no harvesting. Also, there's a short on the main Class 2 that goes through the property. There's also a short stretch. It's maybe 500 feet of Scout Creek. That's also Class 1. That'll get no harvesting as well. I want to point out that the Boy Scouts' primary area of use is around the buildings that were on the map at the west end of that unit. There's one crossing down there of Class 1 Scout Creek. It's a railroad car bridge. It's been in there forever. There's really no mitigation to speak of that's needed other than replacing the planks on it to make it safer. And I think the Boy Scouts were very open about recognizing the problems that they've had in the past and agreeing to, before we even knew this was going to be a Tier 4, to go ahead and volunteer to get into that 15-year program. And once again, after 5 years, the Water Board has the option of terminating that waiver or not, and they can do inspections for any time in that 15-year period. So did anybody have any questions specific to the plan itself?
Any questions from the board members?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Berlage? Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Jeffries and members of the board, my name is Bob Berlage. I'm here representing Big Creek Lumber Company. We have no direct interest in this particular project. I have some general comments and concerns about the letter that Mr. Collins has presented, but I want to qualify that by saying in no way, shape, or form am I objecting to the fact that Mr. Collins has provided written comment and concerns. Our company, virtually from day one, has been a proponent of more public discourse rather than less relative to our processes, particularly if the comments come early in the process. It provides an opportunity to get agencies and other people involved and to get input and consensus on how to fix things and address problems that may occur. Mr. Collins' letter is primarily speculation relative to operational aspects, and the thing that we're concerned about is that for some unknown reason, to my knowledge, Mr. Collins didn't participate in the Cal Fire THP review process, which is a normal venue to look at operational aspects. One would think that if you've got concerns about roads and water courses and so forth, you'd want to relay those concerns to agencies such as California Geologic Survey, Fish and Game, this board, and so forth, when all those entities are participating in the interdisciplinary review team. It's not like Mr. Collins is unfamiliar with that process. I personally know that he's submitted any number of documents and public testimony in opposition to other timber harvest plans in the Cal Fire THP process. The concern that we have is that whether intentional or unintentional, or fortunately Mr. Collins is here and maybe can shed some light on it, but not using that other venue, which is frankly a really good opportunity to address operational concerns, and having them come forward in this venue has the potential for landowners and applicants, should your board choose to make mitigations or operational constraints based not on things that have occurred but things that might occur on a project, could potentially kick a project back to Cal Fire if there's changes are substantial enough to warrant revisiting the THP process review. If that were to happen, that could potentially cause significant delays and economic expenses on a project and sort of move us back to square one. And you know, Mr. Collins may have a reason for doing this now, but I just want to caution the board that it's better if we have concerns early on in the process. I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Any questions from any of the board members? Thank you very much. Mr. Collins? Oh, hold on, Mr. Briggs.
Oops. Mr. Berlage indicated on his card he was interested also in excuse me, commenting on item 21. That's the executive officer's report, and there's an item in there that has to do with timber harvest processing in general, not this plan. And if it's okay with the board, I think it would make sense after we the board takes action on this item, if we take up that part of the EO report, since the folks who are interested are here. So that's what I'd like to do.
That's fine with me. Okay. Mr. Collins.
Thank you. Good morning. I started to review this plan when the waiver turned up on the regional board's agenda. The first thing that caught my attention was that the prescriptions for road surfacing said that the THP, the RPF, the landowner, would use either rock or straw and seed, one or the other, but it didn't specify where and to what extent either crush rock or seed would be used. And obviously these two means of road surfacing are completely different. Rock, once it's driven into the soil, creates a hard packed surface that's much more resistant to erosion than some straw. And as you've heard, the landowner uses these road systems for the purposes of the Boy Scout camp. So they'll be driven on at any time of the year that the camp should choose to use them. And that would include, presumably, any roads that are marked on the THP map as haul roads. I noted in my letter that there are substantial WLPES, in other words, watershed lake protection zone sections of road, that, in other words, they're within the 150 feet of the stream, and I suggested that these should have been indicated specifically that they would have been rocked. I don't think the plan should have been approved without rocking these. It's an in-lieu practice to put roads within 150 feet of a stream channel, especially a Class 1 or a Class 2. That's the rule. And since the plan is totally inspecific, you could end up with a grass seed on and straw on a road that's going to be driven on in the middle of the winter and torn up, not necessarily by the timber harvest operations, but by the landowner for other purposes. As far as the crossings themselves, I printed out maps from the THP. They're much more clear than the ones that were available to the board, and I'm going to submit them so that if any of you would like to take a look at them, you'll be able to read these maps. Crossing X3 and X5 actually cross Class 2s, and I think it's kind of I saw the photograph, and to put what looked like three-quarter drain rock on top of a what would be a rocked ford seems pretty remarkable to me, because a Class 2 can flow with 20 cubic feet per second in the wintertime, depending on the storm intensity. The last 2 years have been drought years. We had 50% of normal in 2000. Well, my arithmetic is pathetic, but anyway, we had 50% of normal, and then 68% of normal last year in the year 76-77. So these haven't really been tested.
Can you sum up, Mr. Collins?
Yes. The issue of participation by the regional board has the authority to make recommendations for operational modifications to the THP if it participates in the review team process, which according to the record I was unable to see that it did. And in that situation, Julia or whoever was performing that role could have specified that the roads should have been rocked in certain specific surfing circumstances. And if CDF or the landowner and CDF had refused to cooperate, this agency has the authority to issue either a non-concurrence or a head of agency appeal to the Board of Forestry. And when you don't participate in the pre-harvest inspection and comment on it formally in the review team process that Mr. Berlage was describing. The regional board gives up that authority to actually comment on the operational aspects of the THP, so that you're then left with merely being able to establish monitoring conditions. And there's a big difference between how much effect you can have on the actual THP itself.
Mr. Collins, your time is up.
Yes.
Is there any questions by the board members to Mr. Collins? Thank you very much for being here this morning. Is there anyone else would like to speak on this item? I don't have any more cards. Okay. And I'll bring it back to the board members for comments. Mr. Briggs, do you have any staff?
I thought we should have some staff response to the comments. One of the issues that, if I understood Mr. Collins correctly, was the proper classification of the couple of streams or a couple of crossings.
Yeah, I just checked my notes and I spoke incorrectly. That crossing 3 is a class 2. But again, as Mr. Hildreth pointed out, these were evaluated by an engineering geologist or civil engineer and has designed these to accommodate the 100-year flood as appropriate. If I remember correctly, the class 3 topographically, so on and so forth, it carries a different potential of discharge as the crossing 5, which handles a culvert. So it's very site-specific what they recommend. As far as the rock, I spoke with Mr. Hildreth, and he committed that all of the Wilpez Road and crossings would be treated with rock. And as far as the Boy Scout camp driving on these roads at any time of year, they do have the ability to do that, as any landowner in any of these situations does. But in anticipation of them complying with the long-term maintenance plan that they wrote, they commit to not driving on these roads during saturated soil conditions with heavy equipment or a pickup truck or the like. So that provides me with comfort about them being protective with water quality with their practices. And I believe that covers Mr. Collins' comments.
Well, you mentioned that Mr. Hildreth agrees to rock all the crossings that are within the WLPZ area. Shouldn't that be a condition of the waiver?
Yeah, we could add it as a condition to the waiver. He's already agreed to it, so I'm not opposed to that.
Could I ask a question about that?
Dr. Press?
Is it... does that trigger another reopening of the THP review by CDF?
I believe that would be, well, we could add it as part of our waiver. That and it's since it's more protective, and since he had written that he would treat those areas with rock or seed, I don't imagine that would trigger anything. Or he could file what's known as a minor amendment to the plan, explaining that he's going to revoke the option to put seed.
I thought it was more protective. If we add conditions, it doesn't necessarily reopen the
process. If it doesn't necessarily reopen, we always would favor a rocked road than something that was seeded and had straw on it. So all things being equal, when you see language that says either or, you'd want to convert that to rocking unless there's some compelling reason not to.
Right.
So if the RPF has already agreed to this, if we can add it to the conditions, I would like to add that to the conditions.
Dr. Press, can you hold up your comments? I think
sure.
We have an electronic glitch here. Can we help? We'll just take a quick break here. Okay. I'm sorry, Dr. Press, to interrupt you.
Can we add that as a condition, as one of your long list of conditions? But here comes Mr. Hildreth.
Could I clarify that offer?
Sure.
It was not me. It was the Boy Scouts
uh-huh.
who offered to rock instead of seed and straw. Now, I would point out that the vast majority of the road is already rocked.
Yeah, so I gather. So if there's, but here I think the principle is that where there's, especially in the Wilpez, where there's a choice that's been articulated, we would prefer that that it be rocked. And if the owner has already said, yeah, that's great, then let's just from a public accountability perspective and to have everything on paper, let's just put it in there, and then
we'll, right. And I'm pretty sure we can do that just as a minor amendment.
Super.
And we'll add that as a condition to the waiver. So my recommendation would be revised to approve the individual waiver as proposed, with the one correction that all Wilpez roads would be rocked.
I would like to see that. Yeah. So, Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a...
Yes, I am, Mr. Dr. Press.
So I'd like to move...
Well, wait a minute. Let me find out if there's any other questions from any other board members or any comments.
Then I'd like to...
Okay, I'm ready.
I'd like to move to adopt staff's recommendation to approve this timber harvest plan with the additional condition that Ms. Dyer has just articulated, namely that the Wilpez roads in the Wilpez will be rocked.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve. All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, motion's carried.